Good morning, good morning, good morning. So I saw earlier that I was going to be opening, and then I forgot. And I was chatting, and in the midst of connecting, I'm realizing that it's building community in all of us. And what I mean by that is that not only are our hearts being connected, but interests are being connected, love is being connected, just so many different things. And so I'm going to ask everybody to stand, and I'm going to do something a little different today. And I pray that you bear with me on this. I want everybody to look around and ask God, look all the way around, ask God, who do you want me to pray for today? Who can I lift up before you today? And as God is speaking to your heart, I'm going to ask you to begin to pray for them. Now, there are some of us that are brave enough to get out of our chair and walk to that person and pray over them. And then there's some of us that are scaredy cats. But I'm going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone. And if you can and would, go and pray for that person as we're worshiping. It doesn't have to be anything big. It can be that you just put your hand on their shoulder and pray the blessing of God over them. Or it could be that you truly feel something deep in your heart for them. Some of you people I already know are very prophetic people. So immediately when you begin to pray for them, God will give you something for them, and you can speak life over them. And when all else fails, this is my go-to. Pray scripture over them. Pray the goodness of God over them. Pray life over them. Pray peace over them. Like all of that scripture, y'all. And just pray for them. And if you just do what God wants you to do, would you? So this morning, Father, we just come to you as a body of believers. We're family, we're community. Here we gain life, God. Father, I just pray, Lord, that this morning that life is received. Father, that life is given and received, that hope is given and received. Lord, that you would minister to your kids this morning. Father, don't let this time go by without hope being given in the hearts of someone else. We give this time to you. We commit this time to you. We believe in this time with you. In Jesus' name, we pray all of these things. Amen. And please don't forget the worship team. Thank you.
Waymaker, church.
God of the breakthrough.
tearing down our barricades. As we sing, we welcome the healer in this place. We welcome the author of our faith. We welcome the God who makes a way. His name. wide open, I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands.
So if you want to know how you climb a mountain with your hands wide open, you start with praise. With your hands lifted in praise. When we praise Him and our hands are open and lifted to Him, we're giving everything to Him and we're climbing mountains in Him, and He is fighting battles for us. And He is pouring His blessing and His provision back into our open hands. So I've been feeling when we've been singing this song that the line that says, I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. How about singing, I will praise my Jesus with my hands wide open.
Give this service to you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you give us all provision necessary, Lord, to make it through any obstacle and climb every mountain. God, I just lift my hands to you, Lord, and I lay these things before you. I lay these things before you. Yes, God. Lord, we just lay these things down, Father, that might be hovering over us or weighing us down, Father, and make us feel like we can't climb that other step. God, we just begin to take those things off and just lay them at your feet. And Father, we say you have them. Yes, God. Lord, we trust you. We trust you with our lack. We trust you with our abundance. We trust you with everything, Father. And as we go through the rest of service, Lord, we just give it all to you, Lord. Give it all to you. Papa, our hearts are wide open to you. Anything you want to do, Father, we give you permission just to be in this place in a tangible way in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. God is so good, is he not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day, right? So would you guys go ahead and greet one another, give each other some love, get some coffee, and be back here in about 2 minutes.
Check, check, check. All right, let's find our seats. Good morning, church. We are going to do some declarations. We're going to be doing the Heart of the House declarations. We believe in declarations. We believe there's power in our words. We believe that when we say things, God moves. Amen? You guys with me? Okay. So why don't you guys stand with me? And we are going to declare this. This is over One Life Family Worship. So if you're wondering, yes, we care about the church as a whole, but this is the heart of our house. And so I want you guys to say this with me. We're going to do this on three in unison. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. That God is working in our waiting. That our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves. That we will cultivate a right heart and right minds. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Caden, go to that middle one really quick. I just want to spend 1 minute talking about this, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves. I want you guys to know that in this house, we probably prayed every Sunday that although we have a plan, although we have prepared a set list, all that we have prepared who's doing what, that we are ultimately going to do what God wants to do. Okay? And so my hope and prayer is that when you come here Sunday morning, that you don't come with an expectation that God, or that we're going to do what we did last week, but that you come with an expectation that God is going to show up. And I believe that if not only the leadership team, but the body of Christ could come with an expectation that Jesus is going to show up, we could see some really, really amazing things. Like, what would happen if our church, our body here, came expecting to actually meet Jesus? What would happen? We should try it. All right. So my hope is that would be our heart. And so, Nancy, you have announcements.
So first things first is pre-service prayer, 9:45 to 10:15, right? Okay, a little after 10. Oh, it's up there. Look at that. I was expecting it back there. Got it. Okay, so 9:45 to 10 a.m., 15 minutes, you can do a lot, you guys. Like, it is amazing at how much you can prepare yourself and allow the Lord to move in a small amount of time. He's not confined by time, even though we might feel like we are. He's amazing. Be there if you want to change. Like, if you want something different in your life and you're looking for something, but you keep doing the same thing, you're not going to, you know, it's not going to do much. But if you want to get just a little bit different, I challenge you to come for those 15 minutes and just watch what God can do. Amen? All right. One Life Family Worship Church potluck, y'all. We are going to meet together at Franklin Church from 6. Huh? It will be church because we're there. You hear me? God will be there because we're two or more gathered. There He is amongst us, right? Amen. Amen. And we're going to fellowship. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat some grub. Oh, my goodness. And it's from 6 to 8. So be there, okay? And bring friends, bring family. This is a great way for people to be able to come and commune with people that you're doing life with, right? Yes. Amen. Oh, yeah, there's a sign-up sheet. It's coming around. If you have not put yourself on it and you want to bring something, again, it's a potluck. So if you have like a favorite dessert or side that you know how to make, a mama's recipe or something that you want to share with the rest of us, please do. We would love it. Or you can pick something up at Safeway. That's true. I mean, they make it pretty easy on us anymore. I guess I'm old-fashioned. And then, and it doesn't have to be anything like super, super extravagant, you guys. Like, we're just going to be there. Finger foods is great. All right. And then the youth yard sale, July 8th, you guys, this is going to be another like last hurrah to kind of raise some funds to help our kids who can't get to youth themselves. You know, finances are strapped for some people in this time. And so if we could come together, if you guys have things as you're cleaning out your garages and your houses, and or you know of somebody who is and you have donations, please get a hold of me. Let me know. I'd love to come and, you know, coordinate on how we can get that picked up and brought here so that it's ready to go when we are doing our yard sale on the 8th. If you have any questions, again, my number's up there. Write it down. Get a hold of me. It is up there, right? Yeah. 388-6011. That's me. Please don't hesitate to ask any questions either. All right?
Awesome. Thank you, love. So last thing we're doing, we're going to talk about our giving. And so you can give online. You can give in the boxes, as you know. And I just want to read this really quick. This is Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 12. And this is in the Message translation. How many of you guys are glad that there's not only, there's more than one translation of the Bible? And it's just fun to jump around and see how else it's been depicted. So it says this. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over, but don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. Give him the first and the best. How many of you guys would agree that God deserves our best, right? That God deserves it all, really. And as you guys decide to give, maybe some of you guys have been giving for a long time. Maybe you guys are still, you know, wrestling with that idea. Understand this is that when we said yes to God, he's saying yes back to us. And he doesn't just want a part of our life. He wants all of our life. He doesn't just want part of our finances. He wants all of our finances. And so I'm not saying you give all of your paycheck to the church, okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is that we give God our best. And if for you, giving God your best is a dollar, then that's great. For you, giving God, you know, 30%, the percentage I think was just a suggestion, because I believe God was just like, you guys are going to try to, you know, equate what you should give. And so here's a number. But I really think God's just like, just because there's other scripture that talks about giving with a joyful heart. Right. And so my prayer is that we would not just give out of routine, not just give out of, you know, whatever, but we would actually give with intention, and we'd give them our best. All right. And so I'm going to pray for our offering. And then Pastor Mike has a message on his heart that he's going to share with us. So God, I thank you for all you're doing in this house, Lord, in the finances. I thank you, Lord, for every person that gives to this house, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that, you know, we have more than enough, God, that as we lean on you, God, as this house has leaned on you and trusted in you, I thank you, Jesus, that you give more than enough and that you've kept us afloat and then some. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you're a blessing, Lord, this house. I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing every house represented in here, God, every home, every family. And I just pray for finances, God. I pray for raises and bonuses. I pray, Lord, for those who are lacking, God, that right now you would just rest on them with your provision, God. And I just declare, Lord, testimonies coming out of this place, Lord, of random acts of kindness, Lord, money being given, God. We thank you, Jesus, that money is easy for you. We thank you, Jesus, that you could do so much with so little. And that's been proven in this house. And we just thank you so much for all of these things. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So today, we're going to talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ, which sounds like an oxymoron. How are we going to talk about something that's unsearchable? Sounds like it's impossible to get, right? Unsearchable. To me, that says that you can't find it. But I'm here to tell you, because of the good news, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can find the riches of Christ. We can find the unsearchable stuff. And so I want to encourage all of you to prepare your hearts to be ready to be part of this message. And you will see further on what I mean. But maybe you have experienced in your life part of the riches of God that nobody else in this room has experienced yet. Matter of fact, it may not even be communicated yet in a way that the body of Christ has understood it. But you have received something through the Spirit of God, through the life of God that you've lived, and you're going to communicate it today with us. Now, maybe it's something that we've all heard before, and that's fine, because even if it's just your solid word that makes you something really strong in God, doesn't mean that it's not important to all of us. So don't think your unsearchable riches of Christ that you've already understood, that you've already received, is too simple for us to receive. Because part of you establishing the riches of God in your life is confessing and declaring that they're working in your life, that you are part of the kingdom of God, and that you're already moving in the Holy Spirit in those things. Amen? Amen. So I'm not sure. Let's see, what translation did I use? ESV. Okay. All right. Let me read this. I was going to quote it. I will let you guys know. I've been going back to my roots. We were talking about that last time I shared. How it's important to establish your roots. How it's important to revisit your roots. How it's important to sink down your roots in God, right? Not to just let your life just go willy-nilly, but to really have a purpose and a plan. So for me, kind of returning to my first love, or returning to the well of life, is reestablishing myself in the Word of God. And so I've purposed myself to read through it the last several years, like, you know, crazily. You know, like I read, and this is, you know, I guess you don't have to do this, but I read through Revelation 40 times. And I was not a Revelation person, but I read through it 40 times in 40 different translations, and in 5 of those translations, I read it 3 or 4 times. Now, that's not to boast or anything like that. I'm just telling you that that was part of my determination. Another thing that I did in my early days, because again, I talked about going back to our roots, was to memorize the Word. And some people say, "Oh, like my son says, you know the whole Bible." Well, I mean, I know where things are. I know ideas. I know thoughts, but I don't necessarily have like all of it verbatim. So one of my favorite books, as you see up there, is Ephesians. And I've been always kind of semi-quoting different parts, you know, the full armor of God, the you know, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, all of those different things I've kind of quoted. But really in the last few, probably just weeks, I've started memorizing the book of Ephesians. And I've been memorizing it in the New King James. And just because, again, New King James has always been kind of my go-to. Not that it's, you know, necessarily better than any other translation. But what's happened is as I've been quoting it, and there's all kinds of amazing apps out there. If you guys want to start memorizing the Bible, I can direct you some apps that will really make it easy to memorize. It's not like having these script cards that you have to hold up, read, and then put it away in your pocket. I mean, those are the early days. You know, no, now you have ones that you could just, if you want to know, if you want the verse, you can just say the next word and it will bring it up. So, I mean, it's you know, it's technology and it's wonderful. But what has happened is I've been quoting, and I started in chapter 3, and I started like in verse probably 15, but I went back to verse 8 because I said, maybe it was verse 12. And I said, so I want to know what for this reason is that Paul was talking about. So I went back to verse 8, and I started like quoting this, and I'm just going to quote it based on the New King James. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, when I just read that right now, I got goosebumps. Paul is communicating something to the church of Ephesus that they needed to know, that there was something that they were tapped into. There was something that God had worked in them and was revealing to them that was transformative. That they didn't have to remain the same. That God had a plan that was going to establish them in their faith. And they were going to be able to go from glory to glory in that faith. It says then on here, and to bring to the light, or bring to light for everyone, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. See, we're like on display. We're like trophies. We're like trophies that God has setting on his mantle. And as we live our lives, we shine brighter as a trophy. See, some of us are dingy. Some of us, even though we're trophies, some of us have let, you know, age of our faith and time in God, and maybe we're just brand new to the faith. And we haven't had the Spirit of God polish us to the place that we shine bright and we bring glory to God. See, as we tap into the unsearchable riches of Christ, which are searchable, by the way, because we have the mind of Christ, as we tap into them, we become more of a bright display for the glory of God. We become a spectacle in some ways to the world, you know, foolishness to the world. They're crazy. They're nuts. You know, those Christians, you know, they'll bless you when you curse them. You know, you slap their face and they turn and give you the other cheek. Hopefully that's our character and nature. We're encouraged to have that kind of character and nature. We're not sitting here scheming how we can get somebody back, I hope, right? No, we're to be on display in such a way that we shine bright. We illuminate the world. And maybe the world doesn't receive us. As Jesus said, it probably won't. But you know who does see us as well? The principalities and powers. And they're reminded that they lost. They're reminded that Jesus Christ conquered death. They're reminded that he ascended into heaven and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And now it's not just one Jesus they have to deal with. They have to deal with millions and millions and millions of Jesuses, because he shared his wealth among us. He gave us eternal life, his life. And that's part of those unsearchable riches. Let's look at the next verse here. So you heard Eric talking about different translations. I love different translations. It's not working. Hello. Okay, hang on. Nobody fret. Nobody worry. It's all good. Anyway, Eric was talking about different translations. I love different translations because it communicates truths in different ways. There it goes. So this is Ephesians 3:8 in the New Living Translation. It says, though I'm the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles, which is us, about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Endless treasures. Now, I don't know about you, but endless treasures to me means that there's no end to it. That it's without a bottom. It kind of reminds me of the cruse of oil that never failed for the woman who fed the prophet. She had some meal and she had some oil and it never ceased, because she tapped into those unending riches of God. Even though it was material, it was symbolic of that this is the kind of life that we live. It's unending. There is no stopping the glory of God in us. Except if we choose to stop it. If we choose to say, nope, God, I'm only going to go so far, or I'm done, or, you know, I've ran into this roadblock and I don't think I can go around it, and we just stop, then we stop the glory of God from flowing. We have the control of the valve of how much we receive of the living water of God, or how much we let flow through us. Semantics in a way. The new ET, new something translation. Anyway, it's the net. To me, less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Unfathomable. In other words, it's so immense, it's so big, I can't wrap my head around it. I can't wrap my heart around it. I can't wrap my life around it. It's a mystery. And the thing is, the riches of Christ that you have received may be just salvation right now. And that's an amazing rich of Christ. And maybe it's just that you were in darkness and now you brought into light. Or you were dead in your trespasses, as it said, and now you're alive in God and your sins are forgiven. That could be the riches that you're dealing with right now. But if you've been saved 30 years, 10 years, and then you're still in those riches, again, like I've said before, it's like you've been given a blank check or you've been given a checkbook with unlimited resources and you've only written one check for $100 because you haven't tested your faith, haven't proven your faith, you haven't stepped out of the boat, you haven't gone beyond your own comfort zone. You haven't fought the good fight of faith. Yeah, maybe nobody's in this room like that. But I mean, I kind of shrank back. I kind of, in a way, took the easy path. You saw me here on Sundays. I was sitting in a chair next to Gay, and it was somewhat comfortable. I could teach all day long like that. And just hug to the scriptures and not worry about, letting the Holy Spirit just always speak through me. And like I said before, kind of like having, putting the training wheels back on the bike. Okay, I'm not going to tip over. Because of fear. Because of hurt. Because of, things that happened in my life that made me question more not God, but more me. Is he really using me? Can he really do exceedingly abundantly all that I ask or think? Can he really do that? Can he take me beyond where I've been to a place where no man's gone before? There was a prophecy over this church years ago. A dear friend came to the front, and most people were very puzzled by it, but he was talking about basically a vision that he had. And it was that this book, you could say it was almost like the book of Acts, and it was all these works of God, all these things that God had done. And he was talking about One Life Family Worship and all these expectations that we had what God would do. And then he said, and then the Lord showed him turning a page, and it was blank. And what the Lord was sharing with them, they were all blank after that he was going to do something new in us that had never been done before that we could think or imagine. And, this was when we had, pretty good-sized church, a lot of people coming, really looked like, all heaven was breaking loose. And then we went through, I don't know, call it a desert, call it a famine, people left. Some came, but it seemed like we lost instead of, excelled. And those things did something in my heart. And so I had to be challenged, as I said before, and that I couldn't just rely on the training wheels. I had to take them off again. And partly because the Lord's done something in me, just as he's done in you. I'm telling you, he's done it in all of us. If we would let it work, if we'd let it come out, if we'd let it be on display for people to see. And if he hasn't done something in you, then ask him to do it, because he's more than willing to work in us. He's at work in us, but how much room does he have to work in us? How vulnerable, how yielding, how submitting are we being? All of that is necessary to be receiving those unsearchable riches of Christ. The NASB says this, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Oh, I did it twice. Well, it's a good word, unfathomable. Let's go ahead and go to the Amplified. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ. The unending, we talked about already. Boundless, though. In other words, it can't be contained. You can't package this and just hand it to someone and say, you're receiving all the riches of Christ. No, It's more than that. It's more than just somebody, you know, telling you, you know, like, hey, you've got all the riches of Christ. It's all good. Just go and go. No, it's always going to be working in your life, even when you're not looking, even when you're. He's always working. We sang it today. He's a waymaker. Even when we don't feel him, he's working. So some of you again may say, well, Pastor, I'm kind of agreeing that, you know, I've kind of been sitting on the sidelines. Well, you may have been sitting on the sidelines, but God's at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's causing things to happen in your life that'll give you the ability to make the right choices. See, he's not going to force us to do anything. He's not. He's going to allow the direction our heart to go in, or the direction our heart's going in, to be fortified with him. And as Pharaoh, as you saw, God strengthened his heart to continue to resist God. Because that was Pharaoh's plan, was to not let the people go. God strengthened his heart to say, no, you're not taking them. You're not, I don't care how many plagues you bring, you're not taking them. So God will reinforce the direction that we are that we're desiring to go in. He's not, you know, the Holy Spirit. You've heard, like, the Holy Spirit's like a gentleman. You know, gentlemen's open their door and let the ladies go first. The Holy Spirit prefers us. And even if it means that we choose to walk our own way, he'll let us have our will. It's sad in some respects, because it means we're going to go get into all kinds of junk we don't need to. But it's boundless. His riches are boundless. They're incalculable. You can't add them up. Like, we're going to go over in here in a few minutes, and we're going to look at a few of these, and we're going to say, these are some of God's riches that I've discovered in my life. All of us, again, start thinking, what are some of the riches of God that you can think of? You can't add them up. There's more than the church has discovered at this point. You say, well, what about you know, in those days, you know, there's got to be stuff that, you know, God's done, you know, that maybe we haven't seen and God wants to do again. That's possible. But I think there's still things that God's riches are going to display in our lives and in the lives of the church in the coming days that we haven't seen yet. Because we're talking about the resources of heaven. Remember, I can't think it. I can't imagine it. I don't think I can pray it more than what he wants to do. He wants to do exceedingly above anything. Ask or imagine. I can imagine a lot. But God wants to do more than that. All right. This is where we're going to start sharing together. So I've written down some of these, and these are just a few. And if yours is one of these, then don't worry about it. You can come up and share it, or you can share it from where you're at. But what I want us to do here today is realize that there are riches of Christ that some have experienced and others maybe need to know. Or maybe you need to remind yourself of those riches that God has allowed you to receive. So for me, a big one is the peace that passes all understanding. I was describing things, you know, that was like loss and reasons to be distraught and reason to feel, you know, like I'm, you know, a failure, all of those things. And it brings burdens and heaviness to you. But I'm telling you, I've been able to have a peace through all of this that passes understanding. Maybe I've not been as energetic and fired up, but I've had a peace that it's all going to be okay. Why? Because he's got me. You know, I'm not dangling over a cliff somewhere just waiting to be dropped. I'm in his hand. I may be over a cliff, but I'm in his hand. I'm in the care of the Almighty. That peace that passes all understanding is one of the riches that we have as believers. One of the unsearchable riches. In other words, maybe somebody here is dealing with total chaos in their life, a lack of peace, I'm here to tell you that there's a peace that passes all understanding that's available for all of us. Jesus said it in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give this to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled or let them be afraid. I've shared this before, but it's been a long time. I was going through some severe health issues, and I kind of at the time thought it was a C word, and I mean, this is years ago before even Gay and I were married, and I was going through, you know, tests. I went through like almost like and back in the days, I'm telling you, the colonoscopy was nothing like they have now. It was really bad. And I went through an upper GI, lower GI, and all of that stuff because I had some issues, and it looked really bad. And so I was laying in the couch one day at our apartment, and I was just sitting there thinking about, oh, Lord, I don't know what's happening here. Am I going to die? You know, all of these things, you know. And John 14:27, one of those flip cards that I memorized when I was an early Christian, and it's still in my heart. And it came to me. And I just laid there, and I just said, Lord, I receive your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding. I'm not going to let my heart or mind in any ways be troubled anymore. And I just received it. It's like I breathed it in. And I just felt like this warmth all over me. It was like warm honey. I wasn't asking for healing. I was just asking for his peace for the situation. So I went in for all those tests. And the doctor called me up and said, we can't find anything. There's nothing there. So to me, his peace is very rich. It's very, very personal to me. His peace to me is healing. His peace to me is life. How about this one? Just eternal life. Eternal life. Yes, Pastor, someday we're going to die and go to heaven. Eternal life. No. That's not the kind of eternal life I'm talking about. I'm talking about the same eternal life that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. This is eternal life that we get to experience in the present. This is life that overcomes everything. Everything. Because it's the same life that Jesus lives now. It says, just as he is now, John, I think we read it a few months ago, just as he is now, so are we in this world. We're just as he is. That life that lives in Christ now lives in us, eternal life. Rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. I didn't mean to preach all of these, but they're a preach. Each one of these is a preach. Perfected love. We have a love that has been perfected by God because it is God. And we have that love. It casts out all fear. This love can remove all doubt. This love can remove pain and sorrow and mourning. This love can take brokenness and make it whole. It's a perfected love. The joy of the Lord, the fullness of joy. Now, I'm not just saying, you know, like happy, smiling all the time. No, joy, a seatedness that again, no matter what life may bring to you, that you're able to say, I have something that bubbles up in me, no matter what's going on around me. It's the fullness of joy. We have that. It's part of the riches of Christ. Now, again, if you're saying, Pastor, I haven't experienced the fullness and joy in a while. Well, it is part of those unsearchable riches of Christ that we can receive. So if you're needing joy, Father, I need your joy. Pour it out on me. He will. His abiding presence never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always with us. No matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, he's there. Now, do we acknowledge him? Do we give him room to be abiding with us all the time? That's up to us. Are we going to be so busy and captivated by life and the distractions of life that we miss his abiding presence? It can happen. divine guidance. Who needs direction? Who wants to know how to move forward in their life? We have divine guidance. It says in Isaiah that you'll hear a voice behind you, and it will say, walk this way, or walk that way. When we were becoming senior pastors, that's what it was. It was like becoming. It wasn't like all of a sudden we were senior pastors, because I never wanted to be a senior pastor. I always wanted to be a co-laborer. I always wanted to be the guy who lifted up Moses' arms, you know. Yeah, go, man, you know. But God had other things in mind, so I had to become a senior pastor. And part of that process was God really had to pour, like, verses into me to give me confidence. Like, yep, this is me, I'm doing this. And one of those verses was, you'll hear a voice behind you, and it's going to tell you to walk in whichever way you need to go and follow it. Say, turn to the right, turn to the right, turn to the right, turn to the right, turn to the left, turn to the left. And that's what happened when we were first here. I mean, we were just like, do this, do that, do this. I mean, it was like divine guidance all the way. We have the word of truth. Guys, this is so powerful. We have a lost and dying world that is not just lost and dying because they're not saved. They're lost and dying because they don't know truth anymore. Truth is vacant. There's a sign that reads in the world, and it says, vacancy, truth needed. I'm telling you, everybody has their own truth, and very little of them align with the truth. Who is what? Christ. I am the what? Way. I am the truth, and I am the life. We have the word of truth. That doesn't mean something we beat people over the head with. That means something that we release as life-giving words. We remind people that there is hope for tomorrow. There is a reason to be living, not worrying, you know, trying to figure out how to die. There's a reason to live because Jesus Christ died so that we could live. We have his divine nature. I think I did a pretty exhaustive list. They just kept flowing. His divine nature. What does that mean? That means that part of those riches of Christ is that we take on the very nature of Christ. It says, where we have been given these precious promises. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been given these precious promises. Why? So that we could obtain or be part or communion with his divine nature. So to me, that tells me that receiving his divine nature is through his word. Whether it's the word the Holy Spirit speaking directly in you, or his word that you go and you seek out. Trying to think, I was going to share this one. There's a scripture, it's in Proverbs, and I think it says, it is, there's different translations, but basically it's God's privilege or God's honor to hide a matter. Glory of God to hide a matter. There you go. It's the glory of God, or it's his honor to hide a matter. In other words, God can hide a matter. Yes. Those unsearchable, hide like hide and seek. Yeah. Yes. It's God's, he's going to get me the exact verse, but it's the privilege or honor of a king or a son to search it out. In other words, it may be his privilege and his honor and his glory to hide it, but in the same way, it's our glory and privilege and honor to seek it out. What is it?
Glory of God to conceal a matter. Not a matter is the glory of kings.
There we go. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. In other words, to keep a matter unsearchable. But it is the glory of kings to seek it out. And I say sons because that's Proverbs 25:2. Thank you. The idea here is that we have the availability as people of God to find all of these riches. If there's ones that I've mentioned here, which probably some of these are the way that I describe them, a little deeper than maybe most think. I tend to really turn over rocks when it comes to the truths of God. But Maybe you can receive these in your heart in a certain way right now, his perfected love. Maybe you can say, Lord, I can receive your love in a new way today. Maybe it's not fully perfected, but you're realizing in a deeper way that you are loved. Maybe you're realizing in a deeper way that you have his divine nature, or that you have the mind of Christ. Or how about this? We have access to the Father. What an amazing riches. It says that one of the things is that we now have boldness in Christ and access with confidence through faith in him. It says that we can come boldly. Doesn't say cowering. Doesn't say like sheepishly. We can come boldly, what? Before the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? His presence, the Father's presence. And find mercy and help in time of need. Boldly come before God. Now tell me if that's not a riches. Now, some of us could say, well, you know, I don't understand that, Pastor. I can't relate to that. I, for a long time, couldn't relate coming to the Father. For whatever reason, I was really good with Holy Spirit and Jesus. And I was good at Jesus at first. Jesus and I were like buds, and he was like, you know. And then I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so now it's the Holy Spirit. And it took years for me to come to the Father. I don't know if he was the God. You know, even though Jesus was God, there was something about the Father. But one day, the truth came into me that I was a son. And I was a beloved son. And I was a cherished son. And all of a sudden, I was able to approach the throne of grace in my heart. You know how I pray for people when I'm praying for them now? I bring them by faith with my hands, and we stand before the Father and I say, Father, this is your child. This is the one you love. Would you please touch them right now, Lord, as we stand before your throne of grace? I do this all by faith. I don't go literally into heaven. Some people maybe do. I don't, but I, by faith, I stand in front of the Father because I'm encouraged to come boldly before his throne. Okay. I've spoken my piece. Now I want to hear some of you. I can think of other ones. What are some of the riches of Christ that some of us have experienced in the full depths, or maybe just learned about it, and you're starting to walk in those truths? You have the mic? This is where we're all sharing now, okay?
Well, I do want to talk about divine guidance, because I think a lot of us think that we are put into a big, you know, one of those rolling machines that you can reach in and pull out a number and bingo. But like we're put into that cage and the door is shut and we're rolled around and then all of a sudden we pop out for the day and what we get is what we get, you know. But this one scripture has meant so much to me, especially since we lost Aaron, because it didn't seem right that a parent should bury a child. It wasn't natural, you know. And so when the Lord gave me this scripture, I really started studying it out, because I realized that my day wasn't happenstance. I didn't just fall into the day and the day, that's what I got. And it's Psalm 37:23, and I'm going to read a couple of versions. The New King James says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And he, God, delights in my way. NLT says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And then Message said, stalwart walks in the step with God, his path blazed by God, he's happy. Okay, so I'm like, how can I be happy in that circumstance? Like, you know, standing over a grave with a little kid's casket, how can I be happy in that time? And the Lord said that it's not the steps you may have wanted to take, but it's the steps that were divine for your life. So let me help you take those steps. And a lot of times we think, again, that we're put into that little cage and then we just have to walk out what we're getting today. But God planned today for you. And when I started reading over this scripture, I've got a great imagination. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem when it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. My mind thinks of this big, glorious, golden throne, and God is sitting there, and I'm crawling toward his feet. Like, I don't have a problem thinking that way. But when I think about my steps being ordered or directed or whatever, it's to the point where I see in my spiritual eye his hands behind my foot, picking it up and placing it this way, and the next one picking it up and placing it that way. And in that, I find peace, because he's not going to direct me in a misstep. He knows which way I need to go today, who I need to talk to, who I need to encourage, what I need to do, and recognize he is my God.
Amen.
He is the one that directs everything that I do, everything that I am, everyone that I see. We need to find comfort in that he directs us. It's not a mistake.
Amen. That's good. Okay. Someone else? Come on. I know there's lots of preachers in here, but there's also lots of people who've been living their life in God. Come on. Vicki? I would have been surprised if you had not come up. No, you always have something.
So I just want to say something about the joy and happiness first. Is that I just heard this, you know, because I struggle with joy, happiness. What is the difference? Well, I just learned that the difference is happiness. We're happy when we buy a car. We're happy when we get a gift. We're happy, you know, when we get to do something or have something we want. And then we become unhappy when that is taken away from us. Okay? And the world can take things from us. But what the world cannot take from us is our joy in the Lord. And they cannot take the Holy Spirit away from us either, which is also part of the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
And so, and I've been writing some other gifts down, but one of the things that I feel like that God has given me that I've been able to walk in is discernment. Because I have been through some things, and it's been like, why am I having to go through this? And I may not know it in the moment, but when I sit and look and start asking him, where is this leading me? I start realizing the steps that he was making me do and having me go through to get me where he wants me now. And I never thought I'd see myself where I am now. You know, and so it's not been the funnest journey, but I have a joy in it because I know that it is about him and not about me.
Amen. That's good. Okay. Moses? Someone else? Oh, Herman.
So rivers of living water. I've had multiple dreams where I see me walking alongside the river, going the same direction it's flowing. Sometimes I've seen the image of a man walking down the same path, and it sometimes happens when I feel like there's no hope for whatever reason. But I've been proven wrong, because there's always hope. You know, there's always hope when we're thirsty for something and we forget that the water's flowing. I recall one specific dream I believe I've shared here many years ago, is where I'm running down the river and then I see a fountain that's flowing just like a structural fountain, you know, and I go to it and there's a cup there and I'm thirsty and I grab it and I pick up the water and so I'm going to drink. I see little things floating around and there's like, what the heck is this? So I'm looking at it and there's little banners with words, faith, love, trust, strength, courage. And I'm like, this is it. I found the fountain of life. Don't know how many of you have been to our place in the summer, but there's an irrigation canal that flows 50, 60 feet in front of the house. And but when the water comes in the summertime, right now, it's not a canal, it's a river. It's just, and I call it the river of life because everything comes to life. The grasses grow, flowers are blooming. We get ducks that come and visit us daily. And this morning we're blessed to see, as we're sitting drinking our coffee, the ducklings are out. And we always like, that's life right there. You know, that's proof of life. So,
amen.
So I can relate to that. And my wife and my family, we just love sitting out there and looking at this river flow. And it's just beautiful as it goes down. And it seems to me like, you know, that's where we're headed, down the right direction, into the glory of presence of God.
Amen. Love that fountain. That's awesome. Thanks, bro. Come on, guys, think of some things. I know you're looking at the clock. Forget the clock. Forget the clock. What we're after here is we're after to release some things in the spirit.
Amen.
We're trying to go beyond just a normal service and move into what God really wants to do in your lives today. You know, because time can be like a cage, and it can trap us from fully receiving everything that God wants to do. Now, if you have to leave, please leave. But I'm telling you that the Lord wants to do something here today. I believe these unsearchable riches are meant for us to start experiencing them.
Yes. Amen, Pastor. The one that always sticks to me, and same thing, was having access to the Father. You know, that was a big thing for me, growing up and experiencing that and seeing it. There's so many times that the Lord has revealed himself, or I've been able to access that room. I guess my point, what I'm trying to get across, is in your everyday life, he's accessible in your everyday life. Some stuff I even think they were silly, you know, but he answered. I can, just in your everyday life, He's accessible. It doesn't have to be in church. It has to be this miraculous, this sea parting. It's the everyday things, the little things. The things that you care about, he cares about.
Yeah.
They may sound silly. One time I was with a friend, and he's the one who had faith, you know, and he knew how to access the Father. And it was a silly thing. Some things that we think that might have been silly. He was looking for a car part. So we're scrounging around all through the whole valley, through all these wrecking yards. He goes, hey, Moses, he goes, come and help me look for this part. And I'm just like, you're looking for this little part? It's an old car. So we're down in Outlook, and TP's auto wrecking, and we're just scrummaging. We can't find anything. I'm like, that part's going to be hard to find. Then we ended up in Sunnyside. And he says, Lord, I need this part. You know that I need this part. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you're crazy, man. And then he goes, hey, Moses, is this it? I'm like, it is. Let's go. You know, it's your everyday life. The Father is accessible. Yeah, they may sound silly, and you might think like, oh, you know, he don't care about that. He cares about it.
Amen.
He cares about. We were having another thing that was silly. One time, there was a storm coming through the valley. And then I don't know if you guys all remember that, a few years back, you know. And I was driving through 82 there, and along the river. It was like 80-mile-an-hour winds coming through there, and it was knocking stuff over. Yeah, like a hurricane winds, yeah. And I go to my mom's. I go, man, mom's in the path, and my mom's out there. She's rebuking the winds, and I'm like, there is no wind here. So I practiced that. You know, one day it was going to be Adam's birthday party, and they're like, there's winds and everything. We're going to have some stuff outside. I'm like, Lord, it's my son's birthday. I know you love him. I know you love him, and he calmed them for the day. You know, just stuff you think that might be silly, he's accessible. Work your faith in that. Baby steps. If you can't practice your faith in private and stuff, then how are you going to practice it in front of people, you know, when with the missing, you know, with the lost, you know? Don't think it's too silly. Don't think it's too small. The finances. I was there, and I didn't have enough. we're going back and forth on giving, my wife and I, and I go, okay, Lord, I'm going to prove you in this, you know, okay, Lord, the word says prove me in this. So I'm there and I go, I don't have enough for the month. And I'm there going through my junk mail. I'm like, Lord, I'm putting my faith in you. And tell you what, there was a check there that I had overlooked. It was in our name. The means were fulfilled for that month. You know, I said, thank you, Lord. Little things, big things, nothing is too small for God. Nothing is too small to go to the Father. I know we have life. I know life comes at us hard and fast, you know, and those are the, of course, we always go to God, you know, when challenges come before us and we call out to God. But remember, in the small, he cares about the small things too. You know, there's so many things that I've seen and God has revealed himself, you know, and I'm thankful for that because I know in my heart I have access to the Father. And I just take time and I thank God for that, you know, and that's what we got to do. Just separate some time. Say, thank you, Lord. Just separate a little bit of quiet time. Say, thank you, Lord. You know, for the big things, the little things, and everything, you know. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys.
That's good. Amen. Thank you, Moses. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mo.
There's been quite a few things in my life, but the one thing was I had...
Go ahead and hold
just,
it up a little
just
bit.
Just this morning, I just had a thought of just to text my sister Esther, you know, come to worship service. And the next day, I know she's here.
I have to hold it here. Let me hold it for you.
And you know, that's a blessing. And back in 2012, I had breast cancer. And, you know, I was down for about a month. I was so depressed. And I was in her home and in the back room, and I was just believing and praying and crying out to the Lord. And he says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
And when he said a sound mind, I said, I knew I was going to be okay. I just had to walk the steps to keep going. And to believe, and he says, in the surgery, was going to see the surgeon. He goes, we might have to cut both breasts off, but before that was in the office, and I was just writing down, and he said, this is not for you, but it's for others, so they can see who I am, and so. You know, I've kept that little note, and it's just a testimony of how God just came into my life, and he hears my prayers, he knows my needs, and he comes through faithfully, and no matter what it looks like, and God is able because I used to drink a lot. I was an alcoholic. I was young and stupid and did stupid stuff, but he delivered me at the age of 40. And he gave me strength to be saved and to be clean and sober and my mom could see me clean and sober and my dad before they passed and to serve the Lord, and I'm grateful for that because you know I was lost and empty, but he filled my heart with love and gave me love for myself.
That's so good.
You know, and so. In anything and doing well, good, just to believing that he is there, he's real, and he gives us peace. He gives me peace all the time. When I'm in need, he's there, he's meeting me, and I know he's here with us today to meet our needs and we just have to ask.
Amen. So good. Thank you. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
So I wanted to say something different, but Lord said this one. So I want to juxtapose the joy of the Lord, fullness of joy, juxtapose it with fear. There was a time that I was in fear. I won't share the situation, but I was in fear for someone else. It was a real fear. And I think there was something about ridicule was going to maybe happen to me or whatever. And the Lord said to me, so I guess this is fullness of joy, but he talked to me sometimes about his nature, and what he said was, you'll come up smelling like a rose. And he said, and I'm the rose of Sharon, you'll smell like me. But it just touched my heart in such a way, so that's his joy. And it showed me that he cares so much about what hurts me, or us, what hurts me and what I'm feeling like. And he's there all the time. Another one I was going to share, and there's scripture. I was reading, and it's Psalm 139, and we all know, search me, O God. I know a song a friend wrote, and search me, O God, and know my heart. But just this week, there was a part in there that I've read. It's 16. It's verse 16, and it's so amazing because it talks about our members that were not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they were being sustained. He knew then, and I'm kind of a sucker for going deep, but he knew then the members that weren't even formed yet.
Yeah.
And he already knew what they were going to be, but they weren't even formed yet. You know, it's so cool to search, you know, he searches us, but we can search him, and we can see how he really felt about us even before there was nothing.
Right.
I mean, we were just nothing.
Amen.
So anyway.
No, that's good. Yep, it says that basically that we were predestined in God, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. So absolutely, God knew us before anybody else did. Amen. You have something, Dini? I can tell.
Well, she's making me.
It's okay. It's good.
I know. Hi, I'm Dee Dee. Some of you know me, but some of you know that my husband died January 1st, 2022. And the day that he passed, he told me to sell the house and move to Texas. I'm like, okay. My younger sister lives there. And let me back up a little bit. So like 6 months before he died, he asked me what I would want to do if something happened to him. And I never liked talking about stuff like that. But he's like, no, we really need to talk about this. And so that's what I told him, that I probably would like to be near my sister. And he goes, that's a good idea. So just a couple of hours before he died, that he told me to do that. So I honored that. So at the end of this month will be a year that I've been in Texas. I miss the Northwest, by the way, because there's no mountains where I live. But anyway, one of the things that has been interesting in this journey is that in a weird way, and I've talked to Gaylene about this so much, but my faith has been made stronger with the death of my husband. And that just makes no sense to my head, even when I say it again. But it's the truth. Like, God has showed up in such a way, unbelievable. Like, I can't even describe, like, every single step in my journey, he has shown up in the most glorious ways. And it was interesting, after Mike died, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, this thing always came into my mind, choose joy. And so as a memory for him, I have a tattoo that says choose joy. And this has opened up so many conversations with people. I work at Panera. I'm retired from teaching. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, so I just work a couple of nights at Panera. And I can't tell you how much this little tattoo has brought conversations. And I'm able to share my testimony in just a couple of seconds and why I have this tattoo. And it's so interesting, but it was really just for me. But how God used that has been so amazing. And even in the midst of my anguish and my grief, I'm choosing joy every day. It's not always easy, but I choose joy every day because even in the midst of my grief, God has been there in such a mighty way. And I have so much more to be grateful for than the death of my husband. Do you see? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, even in the midst of that, God shows up in so, it's such an amazing way. And I try really hard to choose joy every day. Not easy all the time, but it's just been amazing, honestly, and how my faith has grown. And it just still blows my mind, honestly. And so the days that I have some really hard days, even in other stuff, I try to remember that. So I just want to encourage you, even in the midst of your junk, choose joy.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, what the enemy meant and intended as evil in your life, God means and intends it for good now.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why you can say that.
Yes.
It's like, I've gotten stronger in God. There's a part of me that's even better because of what God's doing in me right now. And that's because you've relinquished your life into His hand. You've submitted, and He works through all of our pain. Yes. Yeah. 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 When troubles and heartaches come into our life and issues that we have to deal with, they can either make us better or they can make us bitter. And that's what Gay's saying. Okay. Come on up. It's getting a little late, but you know what? If you've got something burning on your heart, there's a reason. Amen. What?
Said I have a 30 minutes.
Oh, cool. Awesome. I've been wanting you to preach, so that's good.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so really quick. Maybe like about a year ago, maybe 8 months now, I was just dealing with a lot of like anxiety and like literally couldn't sleep. Like would just be tossing and turning all night and thinking about just like... just silly stuff. Like now that I look back at it, it's like, you know, just stuff that wasn't even like craziness. And so I just decided one day to like, I think we were just worshiping one day and we were just like, just give everything to God and you know, cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And so ever since then, I've just had this peace that just surpasses like all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I have anxiety or I'm starting to feel a little anxious, I just like call in the name of Jesus, and He, like, I just get, like, goosebumps, like, over me, and I just feel His presence, and I just feel Him giving me, like, a tight hug, and so, yeah, that's the one that's been sticking.
That's so good. Thank you, hon. Anyone else? Okay, come on up, Valencia. You know, in the scriptures, it says that in the early church, they would come together, and everyone would have a word, have a song, have a testimony. This is the kingdom of God right here, folks. This is how it works.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead.
Sorry, kind of nervous.
Hold it up a little bit. There we go.
some of you don't know me. My name is Valencia. Most of you know my fiance, Derek Billy. We're originally from Arizona, but for me, I'm new to Yakima. Been here for about six months now, and Derek's been here prior to that. And we do share 4 children together. But for me, I would like to point out perfect love, because in 1 John it says 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Cast out all fear, because fear has torment. He has fears not to be made perfect in love. Before I stepped into this home, Derek kept on telling me, go to my church, go to my church. I was from the church that I grew up in. They turned their back against me when I arrived in Yakima. So heartbroken. Lost my faith. But Derek did not give up on me. He kept on telling me, go to the people, my people that love you and take you under their wings. To this day, I am very grateful for the acceptance of each and every one of you. Because there is no fear in love, and to this day, Derek tells me that of every day, and now that I'm accepted and I ask for forgiveness, I feel that love of every day. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Thanks, Valencia. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Okay.
When Moses was up here talking, Katie's like, Mom, you guys struggling? I was like, no, but if you want to bless me, go ahead. I think the biggest one up here is, for me, is His abiding presence.
Mm.
And just because, you know, we don't have to be at church to feel His presence. And There's just been so many times where, like, I don't drive long distance anymore because I work there in, you know, pretty close in Granger and stuff. But when I come to Yakima for appointments or anything, and I'm listening to God's, you know, to worship music, I would start crying, and I just feel God's presence come upon me, and it's just so sweet, and just, I mean, there's nothing that can compare to that. And, you know, we've had some people at our house that have said, you know, I feel God's presence here at your house. And that's just a joy to hear. And we've helped pray for people that have come over and, you know, have not felt, you know, have not felt God's presence, or they feel heaviness and stuff. And so just this big, huge one is just feeling God's presence, because you can feel it anywhere, even when we think that he's not there. He's there. And when he just touches you, it's, you don't want to stop. And so that's a big one. So,
amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Riches of Christ. Anyone else? Don't want to deny anyone if you've got something burning in your heart. Anyone? Okay. Eric. No. Mike. So, Father, we are grateful and honored, Lord, to be able to be part of these unsearchable riches. And Lord, we thank you that even though they say they're unsearchable, they're unfathomable, Lord, they're beyond finding, Lord, through your truth, through the Spirit of God, through the love of God, through the grace of God, the holiness of God, they've been revealed to us. And so, Lord, I pray that in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, those riches, Lord, that you've intended for us to walk and live in this day, Lord, would become manifest in our life, would become a reality. Lord, that we would be those shining trophies sitting on your shelf, Lord, on display for the enemies of the cross, for the principalities and powers that want to destroy us, to have it rubbed in their nose that the cross of Christ was victorious in our lives. And that you have overcome death. And Lord, because you did, we are too, Lord. We are living examples right now of the overcoming power and the victorious power of Jesus Christ in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Thank you all for sharing. And for those of you that didn't share, share it with somebody at workplace or in your home. Share something that God has worked in you, the riches of his grace, because you don't know what you might release into their life. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.